Today, if you'd like to, we're going to look at one verse as we begin this morning. And it's Galatians 6 and verse 9. And we're going to jump right off of that to the Old Testament. And the passage we're looking at says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." In well-doing. And we're going to look at the old king, Solomon, in his wisdom. How he laid out some thoughts that will help us expound this thought a little bit more about being weary and well-doing. It's six verses in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And very familiar, I'm sure, but we're going to look at what I think is the meaning of these verses and how they tie into the idea of giving. And our work as Christians, we're blessed so much in so many ways by the Lord. And one of the ways to enhance and multiply those blessings is the more we give, the more we're blessed in return. And we're going to look at Ecclesiastes 11. First, let's just read this out loud. "Cast thy bread," I'm using King James actually today. "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. The clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both alike shall be alike good." So, going back, we're just going to go through this six verses, and that's our lesson for today, and look at how these tie in and how they may help us and encourage us in this area of charity towards others. And there's many ways we can show that charity towards others. And first of all, I'll say that the research I'm reading about this lesson, some think that this is more from principles of money management and business. Others say, no, this is really about giving of yourself. And there's more evidence that I believe this, the context here. And of course, the context of Ecclesiastes itself, a fascinating book, oftentimes seen as negative, but not really a negative book. It just talks about the anguish of life under the sun and the frustration Solomon will repeat over and over again, vanity of vanities. But in this particular chapter, and we know that this and the next chapter are fascinating chapters of encouragement, 11 and 12, as Solomon closes this book. But he very positively talks about what we can do. He starts out with casting thy bread upon the waters. And you picture, you know, throwing bread upon the waters. The meaning of that, though, has to do with our giving. And the term waters is one of the key phrases or the key terms there. Waters can mean people, the multitudes. In Revelation 16:5, the in Scripture and in other places, that term waters is used for the multitude. It's also used as a term for men of sorrows, the poor, basically, because there are multitudes of poor. And the farmer keeps back some of his seed that he doesn't feed his family with. For one reason, obviously, he's got to use that to grow next year's crop. And we're being encouraged, I believe, to, in our mind, as we plan, like a farmer would, to keep back some. A charitable man is going to take some of that seed and he's going to sow with it so that he can be able to give to others. You notice it says bread. That's another reason I don't think this has got to do with just principles of business. This has got more to do with mankind and Christians in particular. getting the blessings of God by being in line with these principles. But we've got to give bread. We've got to give the sustenance of life. We've got to give not just good words, but we've got to give good things to others. And it's got to be thy bread. You know, it's an empty gift that we're giving to someone else if we didn't, by the sweat of our brow, earn that, honestly. And this is a good dovetail to 1 Timothy, as we were talking this morning about honest gain. And first do justly and then love mercy. So the point is cast your bread upon the waters and give freely to the poor. Second point, Solomon says, give a portion to seven and also to eight. We need to be free and liberal in works of charity. Luke 6:38 uses the term good measure. In other words, don't just give a paltry amount. Give a portion. In Nehemiah 8:10, there's an example given of the feast. And Nehemiah 8, verse 10, Nehemiah instructs, as everyone's getting ready to enjoy this feast, he instructs the people. He says, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so the people did that. They went and they gave of their portion to those who had not. Give to many a portion of seven. What does it mean? And also to eight. You know, if there's seven objects of your charity, give to those seven. If there's another, freely give to that other. And if there's more, freely give to those others. Because our nature is going to be to say, I gave it the, you know the blank there, office. I've already given, so I don't need to give more. Even to the point of generosity, if times get even more difficult, our generosity needs to rise to the point of the need that's there. Our charity needs to be proportionally enlarged. And our picture is our Lord, God, who is so rich in mercy to us. And unworthy as we are, he gives liberally of his love and of his mercy. And we need to be merciful, just like our Heavenly Father is. What are the reason these duties are pressed upon us? One is that our reward is certain. You know, a plentiful harvest, the farmer is going to get his grain back. A businessman who invests a lot is going to get a rich return. In that respect, this is a good picture of that principle. And when you cast your bread upon the waters, it isn't lost. And it's still, you know, you're going to get it back in interest in the gifts of God's providential care and God's wisdom and graces and his comforts of the Spirit. And the principle is sure. We talked again in the class about our treasure. Lay up your treasure in heaven. That's what we do when we give of ourselves. Seneca, a Roman who's a heathen, quote from him, he said, I possess nothing so completely as that which I've given away. I possess nothing so completely as that which I've given away. Oh, and there's a second part to that quote. Whatever I have imparted, I still possess. These riches remain with me through all the vicissitudes of life. Now, it may take a while. It may be many days, but you will be blessed for those things that we give back. What's another reason that this duty is pressed upon us? Solomon says, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. You know, when evil does arrive, and we know it will, you know, we've been born to a troubled earth that we're in. And we may at that point be deprived of the ability to give because of our estate being no longer there. And that'll put us out of a capacity to do good. So Solomon says, do good while you have it. We have reason to expect things. I heard on the radio the other day what the number one difficulty with the finances is. It's the thing that's in the news all the time right now anyways, is medical. Medical will drain And that can happen to anyone at any time. And also, any other calamities in our country or in our economy, whatnot. So the Lord is saying, do good while you have it. Do good while you have it. Go about doing good in the time that you do have the prosperity. Some may use this idea, though, as a reason not to be generous or not to be charitable. And, if hard times are going to come, I'm going to be in want. So therefore, I need to hang on to what I have. And Solomon is saying that the fact that evil shall be upon the earth, that's a reason you should be charitable. Do good while you're able. And then you'll hope to find mercy with God and with man when the difficult times do come. And we have to trust the Lord in this. This is a quote from Matthew Henry. It says, if by charity we trust God with what we have, we put it into good hands against bad times. What's another answer to objections that people might have about being generous and about giving? It says, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And when I read this, I had to look up different commentary. I wanted to get different people's ideas. What does this mean? And, if you say, this money's mine, and it's for my use. Why should I cast it upon the waters? Why should I take my bread and my flesh and give it to somebody I don't even know? Now, that's actually a good quote. Nabal, and I don't have these on the chart, but you remember Nabal, when David and his men were out in the wilderness in 1 Samuel chapter 25. I want to read a quote from there. Remember Nabal's comments when David sent some of his men, and they were in dire need, and Nabal was a wealthy, wealthy individual. This is how David eventually married Abigail, if you remember that. But he was Nabal's response when David's men approached him. He said, shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? And so what about the clouds? Well, the picture here, Solomon's using the clouds to answer that objection. How long would it take for the grounds around us here to dry up? We have droughts every now and then of medium stature, not like it, people from Texas. They know about dry land. But if the clouds decided, we're going to withhold the rain. We'll personify the clouds for clouds for a moment here. How long would it take for the earth to be dry? And they don't do that. The clouds empty themselves upon the earth and are generous in their watering of the earth. And the point is, just like the clouds are bountiful to the earth beneath it, far beneath it, why would man not be bountiful towards bone of his bone? Why would man begrudge the poor, the ones who are bone of thy bone? So again, it's God's blessing of us. But what about those who say our sphere of influence isn't as great as somebody else's? Don't have much to give. I won't be able to give or do much good. So they don't do anything. Solomon says if the tree fall toward the south or the north, the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. I believe this means that he's trying to tell us, however your lot in life is, whatever providence deals you in life, however much you have, that's where you are. And you need to be a blessing from wherever you are, from whatever direction you fall. And whatever good you can do in that place, in that position, you need to do. Because that's where you are. What about other discouragements? And there could be many. I've got kids who have needs, and I need to lay up money for them. I've got taxes to pay. I got a lot of things I got to purchases I got to make. And one that always gets me is what is this person, especially somebody, a total stranger, what are they going to do with this money? And we all deal with this when we're approached or when people ask us. And I think Solomon says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. He's giving us this picture of the farmer again and the need that the farmer has to have a little bit of strength and a heart and trust and move forward. You can imagine a farmer looking at the wind. Oh, no, I can't sow today. Better not. Better not. Or at when the harvest time comes, ooh, those clouds are coming in. We'll never be able to get the crops in. And he's just making a picture of don't look at any little difficulty or danger that's contrived in your mind that really isn't a valid thing that's going to prevent you from giving and being who you should be towards others. But duties of giving will meet discouragements just like the farmer, but they'll do us no harm. They're important duties, and we need to not have little things deter us. What about those who might say, how and when will a blessing ever come back to me? You ever thought that? I mean, this concept, it's true that when we give, we'll be blessed in return, but it could be that some are going to say, you know, how is that going to happen, basically? And Solomon says, thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit. But he says, you know, here's two examples he uses to illustrate this idea of not knowing the way of the Spirit. One is, he says, nor how the bones grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not. Let me go back for just a minute. I've lost my point there. When he's talking about knowing the way of the Spirit, some versions also will have knoweth the way of the wind and Spirit, just like in other places in the Bible. It's used in both ways. Basically, when you talk about the wind, how do you deal with that? Let's say you're a sailor and you depend upon the wind on a daily basis. How do they deal with that? Well, they observe it and they wait, because eventually prevailing winds will come their way and it'll turn about and they'll be able to go about their way as a result of that. And Solomon's point is similar. You don't know the way of the Spirit, but you need to persevere and you need to continue to do right and do the best you can and not try to question that, because we don't know the way of the Spirit. That's our duty. The second point is, he's talking about the growth of a child when a woman is with child. And we don't know, as smart as we may be, some of the things that are going on to describe the miracle that takes place within the miracle of birth. We can't describe how the body is formed and how a soul comes to be knit with this new creation, united with the body. It's definitely the work of God. We can trust in the promise that a baby's growing and that a baby's going to eventually be born. But we don't know some of the intricacies, especially of the things of God regarding the Spirit. Where does that happen? How is the Spirit breathed into a soul? A soul breathed into a new life. In the same way, we need to do what we can and depend on the Lord for other things. You know, a similar verse or a similar thought to this is what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, when he said, be not anxious, you know, for what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear, for that life is more than flesh. The life is that we've been given is more than flesh. He had the same intent when he was trying to tell us that. And the point is, if the Lord did that for us, if the Lord created us and we were not a part of that, I didn't have any part in my conception or in my growth within my mom, or none of us did, but that's who our Lord is. And if he can do that, how much more can we rely on him to return blessings to us when we are generous to others? And one last point, if someone may say, you know, we've given to the poor, and a lot of times passed, and we've seen no real return for that. And to that, Solomon says we need to continue and persevere. He says, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. And I like one interpretation of this. It's talking about in the morning is the morning of life, when you're young. When you're young and you don't have a lot, you still need to give. You still need to be a blessing and give of what you have, even though it not be much. And it says in the evening, meaning the evening of life, withhold not thine hand. There's a tendency, I believe, as we age and age more, to be possibly more tight-fisted. And Solomon's saying, don't allow that to happen when you get old. Continue to be generous. It's not really adequate to say I've got a generous will to give. Don't yield to that temptation. Continue to give as you can. And he says the reason why is for thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. And that's not in our hands. We can't excuse ourselves from having a charitable will based on our desire to know exactly how we'll be blessed or any of the other possible things that'll pop into our mind. And now here's a question. Is this lesson applicable in other ways? And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And I believe there's many more parallels that we could that are related to these principles of giving. What about spiritual charity? You know, the things that we just went through, the last principle is one of the best. It says, you know, sow your seed in the evening, sow your seed in the morning. Obviously, we can sow spiritual seeds and we give of ourselves. We give of our time and give of ourselves to others and are blessed by that. Oftentimes, in our society, the physical needs are not as great as today. They may be in the future and they've been in the past. And they are in other places in the world, the physical examples of helping others is much greater than in our country. But the spiritual needs... And if you stop and think about the things we've just talked about, how much more how discouragement can come that is going to cause us not to be as spiritually charitable as we could be. You know, we talked about casting your bread upon the waters and give a portion to seven and also to eight. We need to constantly be generous in sharing the gospel with others. Thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. We don't know what restraints could happen to us in our abilities to teach others. And we're blessed with the freedom right now in our country to be able to share the gospel with others. Of course, there's a lot of difficulties that'll come and a lot of resistance and adversity as we teach others. And if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. In the same way, the Lord's blessing has constantly is what sustains us. And in the same way, we need to share his blessings with others. And if the tree fall towards the south or the north, and the place where the tree has fallen, there it shall be. We could say the same thing in regards to spiritual principles in that regard, because we may have a feeling to say, I don't have the ability to do that. You know, I'm not as good as so-and-so is, or so-and-so. And like Gary said in his prayer, we'll be blessed by the Greer's coming and his tendency towards that. But we all have gifts. We all, each of us, and wherever our tree has fallen, so to speak, and whether it's in the south or the north, we need to take the abilities we have And he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. Don't allow little things in our mind, and I'm talking to myself as much as anyone here, and I've benefited from the preparation of this lesson, because I don't need to let little things stop me from sharing the gospel with somebody and have a lame excuse in my own mind about why I'm not. And Solomon's principles are true across the board. And as thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb, we won't know the blessings. That's why I believe scriptures teach us that one may plant and another watereth, and the Lord gives the increase. Because whether a person is, we see the results of someone coming to the Lord or not, we need to press on and not question the Lord's desire for us just to teach. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. I'm so excited about the Greers coming here. We did very well, I believe, in our choice of a preacher to come to us, and he was already preaching through his letter, or teaching through his letter that he that was read a few moments ago. And today, I believe, if you're amongst us and you do not know the Lord, I think the lesson from today is a good example. You may not know everything about the Lord, but it's very obvious that when you give of yourself, and the invitation is there to give of yourself, not only when you are first initially become a Christian, but it's the walk that you'll make after that point, and you'll be blessed for the coming forth to become a Christian, but then you'll be blessed in your life when you follow principles like this and follow after the Lord. If there's anyone that would like to come forth and would like to obey the gospel, then we can do so now as we stand and sing the chosen song.